He's ADHD. He didn't hear me.
Hey, podcast intros are my favorite part of the whole thing. And also my favorite is hanging out with my best friend, my newly best friend. He doesn't know we're best friends. Rudy.
Rudy. Rudy. Rudy.
Rudy. Federico with the Franchise Consulting Company, man. Welcome to our groovy podcast. We're so excited that you're here.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
Rudy, this isn't his first rodeo.
No, it's not. You can tell.
I can tell. He's gonna school us on how to podcast.
He might lead us.
A one and a two.
Well, man, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here at Grandscape in our cool, funky office. Man, you are all over this DFW area. I see you at so many networking events. I've seen you at little tent shows, like with your tent and then your table. Mm-hmm. I've seen you at Master Networks. Are you a part of any other cool networking organizations?
Several. Three different chambers of commerce.
Ooh,
so I go to those on a regular basis.
Including Frisco?
Frisco, Plano, McKinney.
Did you ever see me at Frisco like a year ago? A year or so ago?
Oh, yeah.
I did. I was a member.
Where are
I only
you?
Went like twice.
I've never been.
I was representing a different
although
brand.
Although it's early and it's a hike for you, but yes, you got to come hang out because it's
fun.
It is the place to be on Thursday morning.
It's fun. Okay. At Strikes. Right. It's at Strikes in Frisco, right?
Strikes in Frisco, Lebanon and Preston.
Yep. Yeah, but it's early. It's like 7:30.
I might have to like stay over here, like get a hotel and then go that next morning.
Yeah, it's early. It's cool though. It's a good time. It's actually a pretty good investment, the Frisco Chamber. It's one of the better chambers. Metro Crest Chamber was also one of my favorite over the years. That used to be, I don't know if it is, like a three-city type of thing. So it was like
I was a member of Metro Crest during COVID when it was online, so familiar with that
cool.
group as well.
Yeah.
When everybody was Zooming, I was in more chambers. I scaled back when I actually had to drive to those places and mm-hmm. manage my time and schedule and things like that. So also with the Texas Legends. I'm a member of the North Texas
I've never been to that one.
Professionals and Service Providers that meets twice a month. In fact, they meet tonight at 5 o'clock. That's where
at
I'm going
Boomer,
next.
Boomer.
Are you going to I'm going that too.
Boomer Jacks.
Yeah.
So
Boomer
I'll be Jack. There tonight, every other Tuesday, well, first and third Tuesdays. The Business Connectors, Dallas Business Connectors meets third Wednesday mm-hmm. at the Cambria Hotel.
Okay.
So that's a group that I've been a regular member of once a month.
I feel like he's like
Business Pros. Yeah.
He's like Cher, you know, or like Madonna. Like you don't even need his last name. It's just you say Rudy and
it's
people are like,
Rudy.
Yeah, I know Rudy.
Sure. Prince.
Yeah.
Just like Prince.
There, Prince. I was trying to think of a male. Rudy.
I'm
Thank
Rudy.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's so true though. Like I will go somewhere and it does not any networking thing that I have been to, you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I just text him. I'm like, hey, can you send me networking stuff?
The only person that I've met that may network harder than you,
let me guess.
No, I don't think you know him.
Okay.
This was about a year ago. Mm. Gosh, I don't even remember his name. Well, but I asked him how much he networks. I think he said 60 a month.
60 hours?
60 events.
Events?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with the impression
like
that you currently have, let me mm-hmm. build on that, right? You say you see me all over the place and mm-hmm. while you're in every event and whatever, but I restrict my networking to 20% of my business time.
Okay.
So the impression to the public.
Because you can network yourself out of business.
Because you can network yourself out of business, right? Because you actually have to take the leads you get from networking and take time to call them and close business. And so you have to manage your time. And so the time management element of all this has been why I've cut back on some of my networking. I'm selective in the groups that I go to. The ones that are productive, that are revenue producing.
Right.
Because that's important to my business.
Dude, I love Rudy. Because this is what I do. I mean, it's a science. I teach people that networking is a science. It's a business in itself. You have to manage the numbers and the time and know when to leave. I don't let me interrupt. I mean,
you probably
do it at a whole nother level than even I'm doing.
Managing the time, restricting the number of face-to-faces and just, hey, let's have coffee and chat and whatever I can do, but I can do that on a restricted basis because I have to block time mm-hmm. to be on the phone, to return phone calls, cut deals, close business. And I've got time on my calendar that gets scheduled every Saturday or Sunday for the coming week. And I know exactly what's available and what's not. And if someone calls for this week, it's next week.
Oh, he's very particular with
his
calendar.
I'm not good at that. I'm good at my calendar, but I have three meetings on Friday. It was supposed to be a holiday for us.
But
I have an onboarding, a pitch,
I have one Thursday.
Another pitch.
I have one Thursday. It is the holiday, but
right.
that's the only time the person can talk to me. And so 8 o'clock Thursday morning, I've got an appointment with somebody in Orlando. Do what you got to do.
Hey, yeah. The business.
I'm not going to be anywhere else. Right. I won't be at the pool till 1 or 2. So mm-hmm. that's.
He's going to have a pool party though.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were on the invite.
I don't think I was on the invite.
Everybody that's listening, come on out.
Sounds like everyone's going to have a great time.
Now that we've just invited the world.
We just talked about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I.
You'll be on the invite list.
Man. So do you eat lunch? And that's a serious question because yes. I forget to eat lunch most days.
Yes.
And I even have it on my calendar. So how do you stay so disciplined to do lunch or something like that?
It's on the calendar.
Mine's on the calendar, but I don't follow it.
Well, follow the he follows his calendar.
But I get anxious that if I don't have that meeting, then I'm going to miss out on something. So my FOMO kicks in.
Boundaries.
Right? I don't know. Rudy's been doing this a lot longer than me, I think.
If you have something that they want, mm-hmm. they'll still come back and they'll be there an hour from now or tomorrow or right. whatever. And you do, and I do. So we both have that same opportunity, and mm-hmm. that is what we're providing folks has value, and people want it. So they'll schedule whatever time I make available. And
right.
and I don't answer every call or jump on every email or anything like that, because if you become a slave to all of those things, then that's the expectation.
Right.
So value your own time first, and the others will follow.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting better at the text message thing. People just like, burr, 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 you know, and learning how not to respond. In fact, recently my response has been, I've received your text message, you know, and I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
instead of the response, because right. then you get stuck and trapped into their schedule.
Yeah, that's hard for me too. I'll look right. at, someone will send me something and it's like, oh my goodness, I feel like I need to respond right away.
Right.
And if I don't,
In fact, I'm looking up a text that I got today. Gosh, and it was so invasive. The message. Yeah, so here it is right here. So the customer, it's a customer. We mm-hmm. have a lot of customers, so they're not going to know it's them, I don't think. So a customer sent, you know, finished their task, right? So then now it's a rush, right? Now it's like, hey, he literally says, FYI, calendar's filling fast. I now have 12, 2, 3, and 5 today. And I'm like, I don't have any of those, my friend. I'm like, today is booked solid. He's like, well, what about tomorrow at 12? I'm like, it doesn't work that way, right? So we have to continuously condition our peers, whether they're customer, friends, family, colleagues. You know, so how do you manage that? And it looked like you had something you wanted to contribute or say.
Well, I was just saying you did say he, so you cut it back to about 50%. So I got a little worried there. But I also just think setting that right expectation, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like I know if I schedule a face-to-face with him, like one, I know he's going to show up.
Right.
Which is important. Like I am shocked with all the networking and appointments I set, how many people cancel mm-hmm. things. Like, is this a weird, do you mm-hmm. find that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think because, like, even if I make an appointment to go to the dentist, I feel like they remind me 12 times. I'm like, why are they reminding me? I've never not shown up, ever. Right. Like, shouldn't they have a little tally mark that says, hey, she shows up. We don't need to send her 18 reminders, you know?
Right.
But I am shocked with the amount of adults that commit to a lunch or a meeting or whatever that back out. Especially that day. I'm right. not trying to like bash anybody, but
no, especially when you do it high volume business, there's just a lot of them.
Yeah. And right? I know emergencies happen and things happen and totally get that. Cause watch, something will happen to me and I'll have to cancel something and be like,
see,
ugh.
Everybody but, has their phone attached to their hip. They yeah. see the messages.
Cause it makes you see them in business differently. Right. Or for me, it does. I'm kind of like, oh, if they right. canceled on me, like.
But a lot of people use systems that automate all that. So they just set an appointment and then it triggers. Reminder email 3 days before, reminder email day before, text message the morning of, text message an hour before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I find that incredibly annoying because like you said, I'm going to show up unless I call you and say, you know, I hit a tree and I'm not going to make
right.
it. But there are a lot of people who miss those appointments. And so everyone says, oh, now everybody needs all these reminders. I find them incredibly annoying because when I make a commitment to a meeting and I put it on my calendar, I'm going to be there. But not everybody does
that. And I'm finding that there might be more people that mm-hmm. don't show up, then do.
Right. And it, and in my business, shocking. when I schedule an appointment with someone to talk about my business, helping them acquire a franchise, then if it's more than 2 days out, then the day before they get an email, I put in my CRM, send email. I don't have automation for all that. We're going to talk.
But yet.
But a reminder.
My name is Rudy.
Reminder email goes out the day before, confirming our appointment. Mm-hmm. And if it's late in the day, then the morning of, I'll send them a text and talk to you later, just to confirm that I'm going to be there. But two is plenty.
Yeah.
Six or seven, that's a little nuts.
I'm like, you get marked off my calendar. Okay, can I ask a question? Because I just think it's exciting. Like, because Rudy's people are going to be listening to this. Like, franchise with Rudy, that sounds like so cool.
Just
I
do
didn't
it.
Even know before Master Networks, mm-hmm. I didn't even know what that meant or that people did that. You know, like I was kind of new to networking. I was kind of stuck in the teacher nurse world. I didn't even know it was something that people did. So tell me, like, in a couple of sentences. Like, what is Franchise with Rudy? Franchising?
What I do as a franchise consultant and broker is I help people identify their best fit franchise. So I get a lot of people say, what's the best franchise to buy? Or they already have something in their mind, and they go, this is what I want to do, and I got to look at it and go, yeah, not so much.
What? But based on what? Like, what are some examples where you
Well,
would
some
say
people like want the biggest, hottest quick service restaurant out there today. Mm-hmm. Is a drive-through chicken place. It's not open on Sundays.
Okay.
Everybody knows what that is, but I'm not going
to
say
it. I was about to say the name, and then I was like, okay, got it. Oh, I love that.
I also only want to go look at the dealership cars on Sundays.
That's right. The best time to go.
Right.
Because they're not there. Okay,
because they're
go
not
ahead.
There. But there are things you need to know about that franchise before you make that decision to mm-hmm. know whether it is best fit for you, right? Just because it has the highest revenue, highest grossing revenue of all other quick service restaurants doesn't mean it's the best investment for you, because maybe you don't want to work your business every day. That's a requirement. Maybe you want to have an exit strategy in it, and that may not be allowed in that brand. So you got to know what it is you're actually looking for and find the best fit.
Okay.
What's,
so you're like
what's in your budget? I get to play matchmaker, and there are businesses that people don't even know are franchises. Okay. So there's,
right.
you know, fencing companies and HVAC and other home services and medical services and automotive oil change places and things like that. So there's a whole myriad of brands. I've got 360 companies across 40 different verticals at my disposal, and I'm going to interview each one of my clients individually, completely brand agnostic, and figure out where they need to invest their money.
Okay, my brain is exploding. I had no idea. I mean,
Wait, but can you take a business and turn that business into a franchise?
We do that too.
Okay.
Separate line of business. If someone has a company that is making money and is replicatable, something mm-hmm. we can teach other people to do, mm-hmm. we can have that conversation. We can run the numbers, do a cost-benefit analysis, see if it makes sense, tell them what the investment's going to take to make that happen, show them what their exit could look like if they had 50, 100, 500 franchises under their belt, put some projections on that and say, okay, do the numbers make sense? Is it worth it? And if so, let's get started.
I really wanted to add in there somewhere my pleasure, but I just couldn't do it. It didn't fit, so I just went ahead and said it. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah.
It's fun helping Check people in. Build
cool.
business. So
mm-hmm.
in my world, everything's about legacy, right?
Okay.
Legacy is people want to build a business, so they partner as a franchise partner with a company, and they build something for their family. Mm-hmm. They have ownership in it. If a company wants to expand, they're building that company for their family, for their legacy, as well as helping the legacies of all the people who build franchises for them. Okay, I'm able to build my business and create legacy for my family by doing the same thing. By helping people build their legacies, I'm doing the same thing.
Right.
Which is why I love the legacy chapter of our networking group.
I'm glad you threw that in there.
The legacy chapter.
Legacy.
Because it's all about legacy.
Right? Yeah.
Heck, I even live on legacy here in Plano. I mean, it's all about legacy. So mm-hmm. so why not just leverage all of that? And that's the difference. That's what's on my headstone at the end of the day, is connecting people to their legacy.
You mentioned before the podcast that this year is going to be the biggest you've had ever since, right?
Yes.
What are the outside influences that are helping that momentum forward? So outside of like the specifics, it's not about, you know, more customers. Like, what are the other things that are helping drive that momentum forward?
Getting help. Okay, so what I did after last year was I found a sales and leadership coach who helped me with my time management, who helped me get all the things organized, who taught me how to say no when I need to say no.
Who is it?
To balance my schedule and to, you know, do all the things to maximize my productivity, to change my marketing strategy to increase my average transaction from which was below average within our network to now it's well above average, to set higher and loftier goals to be, you know, top 10 within our organization so I can be recognized on stage at our conferences. And I've got that as that carrot that keeps me chasing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that drive and motivate, but getting help and understanding that there are certain things only I can do and I do those things well. And the things that I don't do well, to bring in resources and get help. I share that knowledge with my clients who are buying franchises and said, if you're good at sales, go do the sales on this and get somebody to do the accounting. If you're better at the accounting and don't like talking to people, hire a salesperson. Whatever it is you're not good at, get help.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to life.
That's where we are in our stage, I think.
All those kinds of things is find out what you're good at and maximize the daylights out of that.
Find your genius.
Find your genius and go crush your genius. And then the rest go get help for.
I love the genius thing. You subscribe to the working genius? That methodology?
Yes. Not necessarily those terms, but yes.
So, I mean, that's one of thousands, right, of ideas. So what is your thing called, like from a personality index? Do you have a favorite or one that you particularly enjoy learning about? Because there's like the PI index. I don't know if you've heard of that one. There's Strength Finders. I mean, there's a lot of them out there.
I've been exposed to a lot of those different things and all that. I find that what motivates me is finding the right why, and then focusing on that on a regular basis. My why is written down, printed out, taped to the bathroom mirror, and read out loud every day. That reminds me why I do what I do every day. That allows me to then go pick up the phone and go to work or go to the networking event or do whatever it is that I got to go do. Having the right why. And I ask my clients the same thing. Why do you want to buy a franchise? What's the purpose? What's the intention here? What are you doing? And if they don't have a clear one, let's talk through that first. Because if you don't know what you're chasing, you're not going to know when you got it.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps me. But that comes from, I get to where then I want to be by staying organized. I'm not typically organized and I know myself to be a procrastinator, so I need the motivation to kick myself. You know, the things on the wall and the notes on the computer and all those kinds of things. Those are my proverbial kick in the pants, and I see them all the time. And so that gets me picking up the phone and call the next guy and call the next guy and call the next guy. I've got a little sticker that says ABC with a little three over it. ABC to the third power. Reminds me to always be calling, always be courteous, and always be closing.
I like that.
I like that too.
And that's on my monitor,
right?
So that I see it every day as I'm sitting at my desk doing my thing. That helps just kickstart, because otherwise I'll put it off or I'll go watch, you know, something on the phone or, you know, squirrel runs across my desk, you know, whatever.
Right.
So just to put a stop to all those things and stay hyper focused. That's how I find my.
I'm in the very entry level of delegation and inserting help. At very, very entry level. Mm-hmm. We've been in business about 3.5 years, and we're just now to that point where we're interviewing coaches, you know, leadership coaches, sales coaches, for them to help, you know, the team in whatever capacity. You know, whatever I need is going to be different than what Aaron needs, right? So I don't think us being in the same room with a coach like that, I don't think we would get this, you know, the same. We're in different stages, just you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, and then we also have a sales admin. That's something that we started this year, and I think that's been helpful. You know, I think as sales person myself, I don't want to speak towards on anybody's behalf, but like for me personally, I struggle when I'm done with the networking event, then having to take the business cards, you know, and like put them somewhere, right? So before a sales administrator, they would just pile up in little stacks. And then you go back to them, and you're like, I don't even know who these people are anymore. I forgot, right? So we've implemented a process where now we take a picture of it, put it into a Slack channel, and now we have somebody else data entering it, you know, and making the notes. So I'm
you're delegating.
Yeah, delegating. Even something so small as, hey, here's a voice memo. you know, of what happened, can you then transcribe this into where I can use it later on? Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
My process, similar, though I don't have the admin yet, so I still do that, but I do it outside of business hours because 9 to 5 is when I can get to call people and talk to people and whatever, and that's my dial time. But the after hours is data entry, find them on LinkedIn, put out the invitation, put notes in my CRM, flag them for whatever follow-up it is, whether they're a potential client or just a referral partner, put them on the mailing list so that that all happens when the mailings go out. And that happens within 24 hours of that meeting. Otherwise, I forget who they are. And so then you got to go on to the next one. So if the notes aren't there, then I'm lost. But it's all part of being diligent and follow up and blocking time to do it. If it doesn't happen the night of, it happens the morning before anything else happens.
Rudy, how long have you been doing your business for?
I have been in franchising 34 years. I've been an independent consultant with the franchise consulting company for 3.5 years.
So in the last, let's say, 3.5 years, describe, you know, in as much detail as you feel necessary, the low point, but like that lull and what you did or what it took to get kind of kickstarted back up. And the reason I ask that question is a lot of the people that we will be listening to this, you know, people I've interacted with, that's when they quit, is when they hit that bottom and they just don't know how to get out of that trench, right? They don't know how to push through.
I see people quit in two places, but I'll address your point first. The first, you know, when I hit basically a dry spell. Mm-hmm. My pipeline's full, but we're coming up on the holidays. They put you off. You come out of the holidays. They change their mind. Had some deals done that they go in for lending. That takes several months. Went several months between commissions, and I live on commissions, so I blew through reserves pretty quickly, and that happens. Fortunately, I was able to, you know, kind of right the ship. But what I did was I didn't change my tactics because I knew what I did worked. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for too long. Calling just as frequently, doing all the things necessary to just shoulder to the grindstone, whatever, just keep dialing. And as long as deals were closing and I knew money was coming, then I knew that I was still doing the right things.
Right.
And so the tides shifted and everything started to pop and everything's now back on the right course. And so just doing what you know to do and doing it to the best of your ability, as long as you can afford to, then don't give up on it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I see is when people have a short period of great success, they also take their foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. And then they have 6 months. They create the lull afterward, right? Mm-hmm. So don't create the lull. When things are going well, that's the time to put your foot on the gas, not on the brake.
Right.
Don't stop. Yeah, celebrate it. Smell the roses a little bit. That's on my daily affirmations. But you still have to keep persisting forward, keep filling the funnel, let people fall out who are going to fall out. They fell out because they're supposed to, not because you did anything wrong. Don't worry about it. It's business. Don't take it personally. Pick up the phone, call the next guy.
Right.
Just keep dialing.
I honestly think it's a gift to be able to just talk to more people, you know. And I love how what you described is just keeping it simple. Like going back to the basics, it always wins. I think in a lot of times I've seen myself included, other people, they'll come up to us and they're like, you know, what am I doing wrong? And I feel like the answer is like, what are you trying to solve? What is it that you feel that you're trying to engineer to make it better or what? I actually think that's the problem. It's not what in the process is screwed up. It's like, what are you trying to solve to make it more difficult?
Like just their clarity in that?
Yeah. So like a lot of things in life, it's like, well, you know, maybe they just weren't meant to be, or maybe I wasn't supposed to have the chicken sandwich or whatever, you know? So I actually get a tremendous amount of anxiety when I go out to eat, almost to the point where I look at Kara and I'm like, just order for me. Like whatever it is, I don't care. Right. Because my brain going into that mode of like, oh my gosh, what do I want to eat? How am I feeling? You know, what's going to taste good? It's like I'm creating all these scenarios that don't exist. So I'm being super abstract right now, right? But I think that same example is what even sales professionals go through. They're like, what else could I say that's different that would make this get me out of this lull? when the answer is, well, I should just do what has worked up to that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and take action
and just take action. So like when I order food, it's like, I just need to order food. Yeah. I don't need to be like, oh my gosh, what would you get? And you know, blah, blah, blah. Cause no matter what, it's going to be
share
awesome.
A meal with or me. It's with fine. Me. I'll order it. I have no problem telling them exactly what I want.
In whatever you're doing, there's probably nothing that any of us do that happens the way we expect it to happen 100% of the time.
Right.
So I know if I just go back to my historical KPIs, mm-hmm. that I need a certain number of people to get a certain number of applications, to get a certain number of conversations, to get a certain number of deals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I have a certain number of deals that I want, I just have to reverse engineer that number, right. which means for every deal, for every check that I'm going to receive, there was 70 unanswered phone calls and 60 applications that weren't worth a darn and 30 people who decided to just change their mind or got denied by financing or whatever. There's only a certain number of people who can actually hit the finish line.
Right.
The rest of them are supposed to happen. Right. They're supposed to fall out. They're supposed mm-hmm. to fail. You know,
getting rid of,
you're in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, those are
you're
hard.
In the hall. You're in the baseball Hall of Fame when you hit the ball 30% of the time.
Right.
You can't dwell on the 70% of the times you whiffed. Mm-hmm. Right. Because mm-hmm. you're supposed to. The rest of them, you just have to focus on the achievements, and those achievements pay the bills and create legacy and do all the things that you're looking to, right. to do. And the rest of them, you have to find a way to forget.
I'm fired up. I'm inspired.
Well, yeah, just more people, more connections, right. more, you know.
Just, yeah.
And being intentional with yeah. that. And that's what I find with you and your time and stuff. He's very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just going to be sitting at the restaurant or at the bar, you know, right. like he is very intentional with his business. And I think that's
I even travel. I travel with a logoed shirt just in case I might sit next to somebody who wants to. So are you, Rudy?
Yep.
And it says Franchise with Rudy on my shirt. So that's kind of my website, my tagline, my, you know, things that I tell people about. And that's what they remember. They talk, you know, say my name when I get introduced at the chamber and, you know, whatever. So all of that's part of the fun. But they go, oh, so you're Rudy. You do franchising. And yeah, that starts the conversation. And if it's on my belt or if it's on my shirt or if it's in my jacket or whatever it is, that branding is what creates the conversation.
You know, I would love just as, this is a personal question for you, Rudy, about that branding, right? So, like the Whale Done Company, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
Rudy,
oh, yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
There's a few others. It's like they have a work uniform,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like in one way, it's like, oh, that's kind of weird or gooky or, you know, but in the other way, it's like, no, Rudy came to work. Like he came to show up to work. And you have a uniform, right? You have, like, this is your yeah. thing. So you have a white button up shirt. It says Franchise with Rudy on it. You have a name tag, and then you even have the little man,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you carry around. How beneficial or what is the impact that makes truly, you know, is it measurable or do you noticeably see, a drastic improvement in your brand by doing that?
I can attribute three franchise acquisitions to me carrying around that little statue of mm-hmm. myself in my pocket, right? So it represents one of the brands. Well, and think about it. My shirt, my belt, my clothes, whatever, I wear them as uniform, so mm-hmm. it's tax deductible. It's part of my business, right? So that becomes tax deductible. I've got a suit made with a lining has my logo in it as well. Tax deductible, right?
I've got shoes that have Simply Gold on okay. the other in cursive.
So the suit's made by a company called Pierce Bespoke, which is a franchise that I represent.
Mm-hmm.
The little statue that I carry of myself from Shrunk 3D is one of the franchises I represent. So it allows me to spark the conversation. And even if you're not interested in Shrunk 3D, when you say, well, why do you have a statue? It sparks the conversation.
Right.
This is what I do. This company franchises. I represent them. This is what other brands do you represent? Well, I've got oil and I've got sandwiches and I've got coffee shops and I've got medical services.
Like you're wearing walking testimonies.
Exactly. Right.
And yeah. that's what people want to hear.
And it sparks the conversation.
I love that.
And so you don't have to be weird and say, hey, guy standing next to me in the elevator, let me take this 30 seconds and tell you what I do, because he may not care. But if he says, hey, what's that thing in your pocket and wants to spark a conversation, well, then it becomes easier.
Right.
I'm going to only wear
Simply Gold underwear. Me too. That's what I was thinking.
No.
Actually, like, I have money panties. You don't even know about those. They're underwear.
I don't know what's happening
with dollar
here.
Bills on them.
We just lost control of the show.
I am going to only wear things from customers of ours. So, like, you might see me with, like, a cookie on my shoulder or I don't know. Like, we better have someone with
you
clothing.
Can, yeah, you can certainly cross-promote.
Do we have anyone with clothing? Because yeah, I don't want to be running around naked.
Oh, she makes clothing. I don't know.
I'm just saying. That might be a brand all in itself. Yeah.
Rudy, how do we get in touch with you? How do we work with you? How do we find you?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm the only Rudy Federico on LinkedIn. I'm the only Rudy Federico on Facebook. My website is franchisewithrudy.com. Also, the franchiseconsultingcompany.com has a website, and I'm listed there. If you Google me, you'll probably find that in my phone number online. So,
can we find you at a Master Networks meeting?
You can always find me at Master Networks Tuesday mornings at 9:30.
At Whiskey, the Legacy.
At Whiskey Cakes, playing the Legacy chapter, because it rocks. So yeah, just
at Legends, at Frisco Chamber. Yeah.
And
everywhere.
Here's the thing. Anybody who's listening, franchising might not be for you, but it's probably for somebody in your phone. So pass it along. Think about somebody who actually needs to have this conversation and give them the opportunity to change their legacy.
Perfect. Man, it's such a pleasure, and thank you so much for joining us today. I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate the time.